Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, the story is told of a despondent woman walking on the ocean shore. And lo and behold, she came upon a bottle that had a cork in the top. So she picked it up, brushed it off, and dislodged the cork. And poof, a big cloud of smoke. And before her stood a genie. And he thanked her for releasing him from his prison and told her that he would grant her the customary three wishes. But he says, be careful, because whatever you wish for, your mate will receive double whatever you request. And the woman says, why? My mate left me for another woman. Why would you do that? He goes, that's just the rules. And so the woman says, I got my first wish then. I want $1 million. And a poof, a cloud of smoke, $1 million at her feet. And in a distant place, poof, a cloud of smoke. And before her husband was $2 million. And the woman says, I'm ready for my second wish. I wish for the most beautiful diamond necklace ever made. Boom, cloud of smoke, the diamonds are at her feet, and her husband is looking for a broker to sell off his latest bonanza of two beautiful diamond necklaces. So finally, the woman says, Genie, is it true that my husband has $2 million and that he also has jewels, more jewels than I do, and that he gets double whatever I wish for? The genie says, that's correct. Okay, genie, I'm ready for my final wish. I wish that you would scare me half to death. If you could wish for anything you wanted, what would you wish for? Now, people want a lot of different things, but sometimes it's just different abilities. Like, if you could throw a football like, maybe not Tom Brady because he lost yesterday, but throw a football like an NFL quarterback. If you could just cook like Martha Stewart. Or if you could drive a golf ball like Tiger Woods. Or paint like Michelangelo. Or if you could just sing like Whitney Houston or Michael Jackson. Or if I could drive a race car like Richard Petty, then life would be great. That's what I want. But then again, there's other people who just wish for a change in their circumstances. There's something that they have that they wish they didn't have, and things that they didn't have that they wish they did have. For example, the wealth of Warren Buffett. Wouldn't that be amazing to have that kind of wealth at your disposal? Or if you were as famous as Denzel Washington, or had the power of President Trump, or you had the absence of cancer or diabetes or a heart condition, those would be awesome things to wish for. Now, in 2005, there was a television show that was entitled Three Wishes. And that question of what do you wish for was asked in small towns all across America. And when in each heartwarming episode, the producer would grant wishes to come true for people, choosing people to receive what they wanted most of all. The application simply had this stipulation. We're looking for emotional stories of people in need. We want to help deserving people, people who always help others and never think of themselves. Then it asked one big question. If you had one wish in the world and could ask for absolutely anything from your heart, what would it be? The television producer said that money was no object, and that's probably the reason it only lasted one season, because granting wishes can be kind of expensive. But what if your biggest wish really could come true? What if the one granting the wish had the power to give you whatever you wanted? What if you were King Solomon and God in your dream says, what shall I give you? What would you wish for? Now, to understand Solomon, we have to kind of peel back the onion skin a little bit. Solomon came from a rich and powerful family. He was loved by his father, cherished by his mother, and respected by his fellow man. And Solomon rose to the throne of his father, King David, not by his own ambition, but by God's will. And after a short time, it became further apparent that he was destined for power because he had the courage to lead. Besides that, Solomon established a kingdom by eliminating all of his enemies so that you know he is very politically savvy and his kingdom would last for generations. And God offered to give Solomon whatever he asked for. And what did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. Really? Wisdom? Solomon, you could ask for anything. You could have asked it for immortality, the riches of all the world, the death of all of your enemies. You could have asked for anything at all, and you blow your wish on wisdom. But you see, Solomon wanted wisdom so that he could be a good king, not just for any people, but for the people of God. And in the eyes of God, his wish was absolutely brilliant. For Solomon had prayed for something not for himself and for his own benefit, but for the benefit of God's own people. Now, most of us, with faced with the same question, would have asked for something external. Riches, fame, fortune, success, or healing, or whatever it may have been. Something external that benefits us only, but not Solomon. He asked for something, an internal change. Literally, a change of heart that would benefit God's holy people. Here's the cool thing about changes that take place within the inside, because it literally does happen within the heart, and it's a change of mind. And when God changes your heart, it literally changes the way you live your life and how you love those who are around you. So we can be better to love others and to serve our neighbors. Now, to be honest, after reading this text, I had to ask myself if Solomon was a good king or a bad king. Was Solomon a good example to follow, or was he a kind of pathetic? Now, as you look through this morning's Old Testament lesson, it really does paint Solomon as really kind of in a positive light. He's kind of a stand-up guy. And if you look at children's Bibles or Sunday school curriculums, they'll take this text to show us how humble and how wise Solomon truly is. You might even use today's Old Testament lesson for a kind of a template on what we should be praying for in our daily lives. But when you pull back all those onion skins, sometimes there's things that are revealed that we really don't want to know. Now, here's my challenge as your pastor. I'm supposed to take that text and transplant you into it and then make some profound application in your life today. The problem is, as I began to look and study this story of Solomon, I started to become a little judgmental upon myself. Now, let me explain. We all know that Solomon was a wise man because Scripture says he was. We know that he wrote the book of Proverbs with all those wise things to say. We know that he built that humongous temple to God in the city of Jerusalem. We know all of those things. But here's the problem. There's things about Solomon that I just can't get past. You know how many wives that man had? 700. If that wasn't enough, he had 300 concubines. Don't ask what those are. You really don't want to know. But he did that as well. And then Solomon had the audacity to disobey God by permitting and even participating in worship in the high places, namely Gibeon, which God had prohibited. Or the fact that Solomon allowed and even promoted the worship of false gods. Yeah, that's Solomon. Or that Solomon, in the end, simply walked away from God. After all that God had done, all that God had provided, Solomon really turned his back on God and exited stage right. So when I call Solomon wise, it feels a little bit like I'm lying to myself. I'm trying to pretend that Solomon is such a great stand-up guy, such an example of faith, that you and I just need to cling on to and follow him. So in this scene, Solomon, talking to God, is really uncomfortable for me, as it should be for all of us. For why does Solomon totally mess everything up? God had given him wisdom and even everything else he didn't ask for. He'd given him all of those things. And then out of nowhere, Solomon simply just completely goes off the rails. What happened? If Solomon is so wise, how can he be so stupid? You see why I'm so uncomfortable with Solomon? It really has nothing to do with Solomon, because I believe Solomon's a great mirror image of myself. And quite honestly, it's probably a great mirror image of you as well. The story of Solomon this morning can be kind of convicting to each of us. How could Solomon simply walk away from a God who had given him literally everything in abundance? Why did he think he needed more than God had already given unto him? See, the problem is when we ask each other that question, we see ourselves at times doing the exact same thing. Why did Solomon want more? Why isn't the wisdom God gave him enough? What about Solomon? If you think about him, how we function in our daily lives reflects a lot about how he lived. Think of it. You and I have been given God's word. It's a word that's literally overflowing in abundance with all of God's promises of forgiveness, of life, and salvation, eternal salvation. And yet in our homes, what happens with our Bibles, they become kind of like decorations on the coffee table or on our bedstand or worshed on the bookshelf collecting dust. God has given us that word of promise to uplift us and to comfort us and strengthen us in our daily lives, and we simply leave it behind and the Christ child contained therein. See, this morning's Old Testament lesson isn't primarily about Solomon at all. It's not about Solomon's words and certainly not about Solomon's actions. Instead, it's all about God's word and God's actions. It's all about the gifts that God gives in abundance, not only to Solomon, but also to each and every one of us. Let me ask you a question. What makes Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church such a special place? Is it the people? Is it our words? Is it our actions that make Emmanuel so special? I gotta be honest, it's not primarily about us at all. Emmanuel Lutheran Church is all about God's word and God's actions. As you gather here each week, the reminder you get that God so loved the world that he gave his one only son, you are reminded that God has blessed you abundantly, giving you more than you could ever expect or ever anticipate, and God showers it upon you in the richest way. You know, he baptized you into the body of Christ when you and I were certainly not worthy. He ushered us right into the family. He places his name upon us and calls us his own sons and daughters, laughable to our friends, but in God's sight, you are holy, precious, and righteous. With that not enough, you continue to walk foolishly in life as you sin against him in thought, word, and deed daily, not in just minutely, by the second, but yet God has his pastor stand before you and pronounce those sweet words of holy absolution. He forgives you. Then he feeds you with the very body and blood of his son, Jesus Christ, not only to forgive your sins, but to strengthen your faith. You know, you are special to me as the body of Christ and Emmanuel. You always have been and you always will be. You're special because of the love that God showers upon you week after week after week. Body and blood, bread and wine, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. You know, if I could have just one wish, I would not wish for immortality. I certainly would not wish for riches because I wouldn't know what to do with it. And fame, well, don't need it. I would wish for one thing. And it's the same wish that God has. Because He wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what I want more than anything else. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.